You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, hello, everyone. How are you? I am Matt Williamson. We are drawing very close to draft week. You gotta love it. But we're doing a mailbag. That is a great thing for the offseason. You guys are good with questions. It's hard to pare them down. I appreciate that a great deal. So my man Big Cat says, Matt, media has said all offseason Dan Moore will be the, quote, swing OT, swing tackle. And presumed round one OT will be the starter. How can Dan do that job if he doesn't even have the ability to swing? And would it be wise to switch Jones back to left tackle in 2025 if he's forced to play right tackle again in 2022 or in 2024? This is sticky. We've talked about this a little bit. So it's been pretty obvious that Dan Moore's better at left tackle. I'm almost certain that Tomlin said as much. You'd also have Dylan Cook in there, who they're higher on than you might think. But anyway, I think you really, really want Jones at left tackle. That's where he's most comfortable. You're hoping he'll be there the next 10 years. If he's forced to play right tackle this year, like if Penn State's Fatanu falls to you and he can only play left tackle, I'm okay with it, but don't love it. I really want Jones on the left. He wants to be there. He generously didn't care and played either side as a rookie, but I think you want him as a fixture at left tackle. So, does Dan Moore just need to start working on right tackle stuff? Probably. And hey, you got to get better at it. Frankly, I think he should be a guard, but that's neither here nor there. I don't have a great answer for this. I mean, if Dan Moore can only play one position on your line and he doesn't do it that great and he's a free agent after the year, does he really have a ton of value to you? I mean, they traded Green and Dotson last year at camp for late round picks. Could Moore be next? But you might need him. I mean, tackles don't grow on trees. I think you get more for Moore, funny, than you would have either one of those guys. He is a starting tackle in this league, but they couldn't move Chooks or tried. You know, I mean, it's far from ideal. If you don't land a good right tackle prospect, you might just have to run the tackle situation back as you did last year, and then a third round pick involved or something like that, and maybe they compete. But maybe when it all comes down to it, it's Dan Moore, you got to play right tackle. Because I can't only have you be in my backup left tackle, or we're going to find someone else who can. Although it's pretty late in the process for that. So I wish I could answer this better. If you do, not luck, but if you land a solid right tackle, you're in pretty good shape, you know. But what if that guy goes down? Then is Jones moving to right and Moore's going to left? I mean, any way you cut it, I think Dan Moore needs to learn how to play right tackle. I mean, if he's going to be a swing tackle, like you said, and he can't swing, got to be able to swing. This is interesting to me. Noah Nichols writes, draft idea. Steelers send number 20, number 51, and a 2025 third to the Niners for Ayuk and 31. I would do it in a heartbeat. Would the Niners say yes? If he's truly moving, I think that's pretty close. I would come back to him and say make that a 2025 second, not a third. But I do love the idea of somehow trying to turn 20 with other stuff, obviously, into Aiyuk and 31. You could also trade back again from 31. You could probably be in an okay tackle, but a really good center market at 21. Some of the corners there are okay. You know, maybe a defensive tackle. We'll get back to that a little bit later. I just don't know that the Niners would do that. First of all, I don't know that Aiyuk's going to move, although that's rumors. The speculation sure seems to be picking up as we near the draft. And not that he wants out, but he's pushing pretty hard. I would do that in a heartbeat. He's a phenomenal player. But I have seen this from a couple different people saying, if you move from 20 to 31 and give them almost premium picks, not firsts, can you get Aiyuk in 31? I don't think it's crazy. But if this was a Niners podcast, they might be like, get the heck out of here. And then, I mean, the other thing that Noah mentions here too is then the Niners take Thomas or Mitchell at 20. Okay, you know, maybe those guys would have to be there at 20 to make this deal go through. I mean, maybe San Fran's looking at it like, we'll only do that if our favorite receiver is available at 20. I get it. I mean, I get it. I think that's a good question. It's a good way of looking at it, too. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite teams into the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BELEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. All right, Ben Cohen, he writes a, some other people ask, well, I'll just read his. Ben Cohen says, you think the safety room is complete? I would love to see Minka get back into his role, but is KZ good enough to hold up the back end? I assume he's talking about like as a deep middle center fielder type. I like Elliott, but didn't like what I saw at the end of last year with KZ. Maybe Trenton Thompson, question mark. And then several of you, I want to lump these questions together, asked me about Justin Simmons. I haven't seen any rumors about that, but that's 2 weeks in a row people keep asking me about Justin Simmons, who I love, and he's out there, and they could afford him, and that's really exciting to me. If you, I mean, he's been out there for a while. Could you get him at a reasonable deal and just make your secondary and the up the middle in particular, the spine of it, awesome? That's kind of intriguing to me. I mean, that's what's heavily intriguing to me. Trenton Thompson, I think, is a guy you bring to camp, and he fights for a spot, and maybe he goes away, maybe he ends up sticking. Either way, okay. I also think Eric Rowe, who played well last year off the street, is somebody I'd like to get under contract after the draft and bring him to camp. You know, one of these type of deals that, I mean, if he doesn't make the team, you're not on the hook for anything. I could do without KZ. I think you'd save about 2.3 off the top of my head in cap space if you were just to cut him outright. I think he can handle the deep middle stuff to answer your questions. I don't love Thompson in that role. I don't love Rowe in that role, but it'd be okay. Elliott's done a lot of it, but I think he's better suited near the line of scrimmage. I also think, you know, obviously without Simmons, they might draft a safety, but I bet he'd be more of a slot corner safety type. You know, I mean, he might be listed as a safety, but he'd be a big slot corner for you. But he could also play off the ball, so that's a possibility. I tend to think, and deep down, I think the safety room is pretty close to complete. You know, you throw a row in there or a fifth round pick or something like that, okay. And I do think you want to play more big nickel. So you want maybe five safeties on the roster, four plus Killebrew, who I don't really count as a safety. But boy, Simmons is has my juices flowing a little bit. I mean, he's a really good do-it-all Pro Bowl safety that you can get for nothing right now, and you have the cap space. Draft a corner and basically be done in your whole back seven. It's pretty tasty, and he'd have a heck of a defense. Michael Edward asked me, do you think the Steelers are more focused on getting, quote, help us now players in this draft this year rather than upside projects, giving the win now attitude they've been expressing? How much importance do you think that may be, that may play in rating one prospect over another? It's a great question. I wish I had as good a answer as that is as a question, but I think the short answer is Mr. Rooney said, just sneaking into the playoffs isn't good enough anymore. That doesn't mean anyone's seats are hot, but when he speaks, it goes a long way to the direction of the organization. And when he speaks to the media in such manners, he doesn't blow smoke, you know? So I don't think it's live to build another day. Now, if I were in charge, considering the quarterback situation, you really don't have one for the future as it stands right now. You know, you may develop one, you know, Fields or Wilson or whatever, may end up with one, but I think I would be a little more Amarius Mims, high upside build for tomorrow, and really try to have an awesome infrastructure for whatever quarterback you end up with, whether he's a Steeler right this second or not. But I also understand that this organization is a little different than most, and they don't rebuild. You know, they're going to keep banging away at the door, and it's mostly worked. I mean, there has been some thin times here in terms of playoff wins and, you know, extreme success, but they do compete every year, and that's the nature of what they've built. So I bet they're going to do a combination of both to answer your question, of course. You know, a fifth round project offensive tackle if they didn't get one early. I don't think they'd turn their nose up at that guy that needs a whole redshirt year. You know, I don't think they'd turn their nose up at that, but I would bet their slot corner they draft is going to be pretty close to plug and play ready. You know, things like that. You know, that early picks, they're going to want starters early. So they probably more than some teams might lean towards the help us now, guys, I guess, Michael. It would make the most part, make the most sense. May Jolner always asks a lot of good questions, and this one is one I've bounced around a lot too. Wouldn't the best money move to be draft a Murphy or Newton, defensive tackle types, despite not looking like Aaron Smith? Cam is retiring, and Ogunjobi, who's close to a Murphy-Newton type body type, is expensive and unreliable. They need a veteran receiver. You can workshop a right tackle corner, but where else do you get good D-line talent? There's a lot to unpack there, and I've given it a lot of thought too. Like, so if you listen to a couple podcasts ago, I put Murphy and Newton on my Steeler list, you know, my Steeler pecking order draft list, because of this exact reason. I think they're getting away from, you have to be exactly this tall to ride the ride of Kenny to ride the Thunderbolt. You know, that you have to be 6'4 with long arms and look like Aaron Smith or Tuitt or Cam or Kiesel. And I think they are more apt to the Ogunjobis and Neals or Leals. I'm sorry, I called them Neal. Leals and those type of dudes that are upfield attacking players because they don't sit there in two gap anymore or ask their front three to hold five blocks like the Cam, Casey Hampton days. So I do think they're more up for these upfield penetrators, and they're really hard to find. And if you look at the league right now, these guys are getting paid heavy. You know, the good ones, the really good defensive tackles are getting paid at a ridiculous number compared to what they used to. I mean, Quinnen Williams and Wilkins on the open market and guys like that. I mean, Brown with the Carolina Panthers. I mean, really good young players, but they're piece of the pie has really spiked. Now, I also think, you know, Cam is retiring, but I don't think it's going to be, I bet you get 2 years out of Cam. That's just my hunch. And he was hurt a lot last year. Is that the beginning of the end, or was it just a little bit of a blip in the radar? My hunch is it's somewhere in between. Benton is quite good. And I wonder if next year's first round pick is the D lineman. You know, like, can you get away with it for one more year before you invest in what's hopefully more their body type? You know, the 6'5", you know, Cam Hayward looking dude. That guy may or may not exist. Who knows? You know, or you don't want to really go shopping on the free agent market for those guys. They're really hard to find and they're super expensive. So it's a bit of a dilemma. Ogunjobi, I feel mixed opinions about too. You could also cut him in this type of instance and save some cap money there. Give it to Justin Simmons, Ayuk, whoever. A couple guys we've talked about today. But it's a little sticky. I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with the D lineman they have under contract for this year. If they didn't add another soul there, I'm pretty comfortable with what they had, what they have. But that could crumble very quickly. It's a little more fragile than I'd feel happy, than I'm happy with, you know, because I don't think Ogunjobi is a long-term answer. But I do think he'll be here this year, 9 out of 10% chance, you know, 90% chance. And I do think I'm going to trust in Cam a little bit. And I definitely trust in Benton. And I like their depth guys. It'd be great if Loudermilk or Liao could be better. You know, could really be an impact guy. I'm not buying that as it stands right now. And, hey, I'm definitely not turning my nose up at his draftable one. But the Murphy-Newton thing is interesting because they are impact players. And they're very good at what they do. They don't look the part as a usual Steeler D tackle, but they'd be helpful. I mean, some of these guys, you look at it like, well, he's not going to play every snap. Well, none of the D linemen do anyways. I mean, if one of those guys were to play 2/3 of the snap and all of the passing down snaps, that's worth a first round pick to me, but it might be next year's conversation. All right, everyone, take care. Over and out.